while in this world, I think I'll take my whiskey neat, my coffee black and my bed at three. You're too sweet for me. You're too sweet for me. I take my whiskey neat, my coffee black and my bed at three.
Chapter 5. Facing Demons. Winning championships, Jeremy's fourth year, is fantastic. Their first year with Jean on their team, Jeremy able to prove to him that the Trojans are worth his time, that they're the best team in the NCAA, that Rico's abusive method of captaining isn't the only way to the top, that love and respect and camaraderie can get you there too if you let them. Losing championships, Jeremy's fifth year, isn't better than that, necessarily, but it's equally fantastic. They face the Foxes again in that match, after the Foxes beat Penn State for the first time and USC beat the Ravens again. That's the game that's the pinnacle of Jeremy's college exe career. And it isn't even for his own sake, but for Jean's. They face the Ravens at Castle Evermore. It takes all of Jeremy's self-control not to punch a wall when they find out. And mainly that's because he can't afford to make this about him when he needs to spend the next week holding Jean together so that Jean can't tear himself apart. Layla and Jeremy don't even allow Jean into the away room before they and the rest of the team can deck it in the Trojan scarlet, a brighter and more lively hue than Raven red and gold. Bags, shirts, streamers, anything they could stuff into the extra spaces in their duffels of gear that could cut down on this crushing darkness. Kat keeps Jean occupied, watching her back outside, citing the need to smoke a rare cigarette before a stressful game, and telling Jean that she doesn't want to stand out on Raven territory alone. Jean knows what they're doing, but it's not like he was ever going to tell her no. Their win is inevitable. The Ravens are a broken team right now, almost as broken as the Foxes in their first 3 years in the NCAA, with the upperclassmen fighting the dismantling of Moriyama's psychologically abusive system, and the newer 2 years of recruits torn between their team, their coach, the bad press, and the rumors. That's not why the Trojans will win at any cost, though. They will win because Jean is theirs now, a part of a team that is friendship and fraternity instead of a fearful hive mind. And these people hurt Jean. The Trojans won't allow that to pass. All four of their coaches know this, Remen in particular. He warns them not to get any red cards on pain of sitting out the entirety of the next season. But he pulls Jeremy aside and tells him that he won't resent him if he gets two yellow cards, so long as he doesn't make himself the Trojans' most infamous captain by earning the team their first red card. Jeremy does get one yellow card early in the game, skirting the line between yellow and red for punching a fifth-year Raven for harassing Jean with an incessant litany of insults in French. Jeremy's fight with her is rough and dirty, but she gives as good as she gets, and the referees look more annoyed than angry when they give them yellow cards and pass the ball off to the Ravens when they restart play. Jeremy keeps himself in check, though, for the rest of the match, because he's playing this full game. He won't leave Jean on the court without him. Jean in Raven territory is a self-contained entity, cold and severe and unforgiving as a marble statue. And just as lovely. Not that such things matter at times like this. Jeremy isn't sure that, even with all of the progress that Jean has made, Jean can trust anyone else to have his back at a time like that. But Jeremy will stay here and guard Jean's back all the same. They win 5 points ahead, and Jeremy scores a goal in the last 5 seconds of the game off of a pass from Jean. It's a toss that he throws over his shoulder, the ball rebounding off of the wall up by the ceiling and passing the dealer's reaching rackets entirely, bouncing off the ground between them and the strikers and neatly into Jeremy's own racket's net in a clean swoop. It's a ridiculous move, one they'd practiced mostly for fun, just to see if they could do it, on nights when neither of them could sleep and there was no peace to be found anywhere except on the court. Even their own team looks stunned and amazed as the buzzer sounds out twice in rapid succession, their score and the end of the game back to back. Jean ignores the Trojans and Ravens alike, removing his helmet and looking at the scoreboard with his eerily calm face and blocking out the explosion of sound and movement around him. Jeremy accepts the compliments and excited press of his teammates, but moves through it, removing his own helmet and heading to the empty space at Jean's side. This facet of Jean is not one with whom Jeremy is familiar. It's not the mess of broken pieces Jeremy met 2 years ago, slicing into anyone who came too close, including himself. And it's not the Jean Jeremy fell in love with, snarky and scared, but also brave and beautiful. The boy with pastel hair and ridiculous crop tops and hand-me-down sweaters with thumb holes that Jeremy snuck into his closet, who slowly allowed himself to rediscover his love of old French films, the stars, and art. This is Jean made untouchable from too much hurt, closed off. But it's still Jean, and that's all that's ever going to matter to Jeremy. Can I kiss you? It is absolutely not the right question to ask, but it slips out of his mouth anyway, because some part of him needs to know how deep this front goes, whether he's welcome in this part of Jean's recovery. Before, he would have said no. But Jean made that pass, and it's an example of something so unique to them, messing around for fun on an exe court, kissing there in the middle of the night in a way that felt as blasphemous as defiling a church, and Jeremy thinks, maybe. Jean's eyes don't soften when he turns his head to study Jeremy, but they do brighten to a lighter shade of gray. He nods once, but doesn't reach out. He can't. Jeremy suspects. But that's okay. Jeremy lets his hand cup Jean's cheek, thumb caressing the bird etched there in dark ink, and kisses him. I'm so proud of you, he tells Jean when they break apart. Jean swallows, jaw tight, and nods once. He doesn't say anything, but after a moment his posture relaxes a fraction, and he nudges Jeremy in the direction of their team's on-court celebration. They're enveloped into the warmth of their community at once, happy hands patting backs and ruffling hair, Layla dropping kisses on everyone's cheeks and shoulders. It isn't the most difficult win they've secured, it isn't the best game they've played, and it doesn't win them anything except a spot playing in semifinals. But it's the most important game of Jeremy's career, and he holds tight to Jean's hand and allows himself a fiercely happy grin with too many teeth and too little joy. It's enough. The end.
I wish I could go along. Faith, don't get me wrong. As a morning, soft as a rain, pretty as a vine, as sweet as a grape. If you can sit in a barrel, maybe I'll wait until that day. I'd rather take my whiskey.
If you enjoyed this podfic, and you would like to leave a comment for either myself or for the author, you are more than welcome to do so. If you'd like to leave a comment for me, you can do that on the Podfic post, which is probably wherever you found this Podfic in the first place. If you'd like to leave a comment for the author, you can find that Podfic post and then find the link there to the text post. And that text post is where you'd leave a comment for the author. Thanks for listening.